Sermon on the Mount is pretty well known and pretty popular. But I would say these verses within the context of the Sermon on the Mount are probably some of the most well known. Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 7. And in Matthew 7:7 it says this, "Ask and ye, it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish will give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him?" Again, as we've gone through the Sermon on the Mount, we've seen that every passage is the Lord is giving us counsel. And this morning it's going to be, it's our letter I, actually, that's not a Roman numeral one, it's letter I because we've been looking at several things. It's counsel concerning prayer, counsel about prayer. Now, this is not the first time we've had counsel about prayer. This is actually the second time. We saw it pretty extensive in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. "When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue, in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest," and note that we remember, it was an expectation that we pray. Not if thou prayest, but when thou prayest. And of course, this passage concluded with the prayer the Lord taught his disciples, beginning in verse 9. "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." So the Lord has already talked about counsel about prayer, and we studied those verses already. But now we get to Matthew chapter 7, and the second time in the same sermon, he begins to talk about prayer. The Lord was one that emphasized prayer. In John chapter 17, we read the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ himself to the Father. And it is one of the longest prayers in the Bible. But Jesus was a man of prayer, even on the cross. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Lord, into thy hands I commend my spirit." The Lord was a man of prayer. If there's an area in our lives where we seem to lack, it's probably the matter of prayer. Now, there's our exceptions to that rule, and those are the wonderful exceptions. Those are the ones that get things done. But for the majority of us, prayer is not a priority. We get up in the morning, we go to bed at night, we pray, hopefully, three times a day when we eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And sometimes that's the end of our prayer life. And the Lord is trying to teach us that the reason we don't have is because we don't ask. Just asking the Lord to bless the meal is not bringing our needs before Him, casting our cares before Him. So the Lord is going to give more extensive instruction on this area of prayer. Notice number one in this section as we look, there are three things we're going to see this morning. Number one, we see the command to pray. The command to pray. The three words in verse number 7, ask, seek, and knock. The Lord is telling us in His sermon, and the purpose of a sermon is to give us the commands of the Word of God, ask, seek, and knock. It's very explicit in just simply the way it's worded. He's not saying, "I wish you would ask," or "I want you to ask," or using the words of the Apostle Paul, "I beseech you to ask." He's not saying that. He's saying, "Ask." All right, so it's a command. It's just as much a command as "thou shalt." And so the Lord is giving us a command that we pray, that we ask, that we seek, that we knock. Now that's a shame in the first place that the Lord would have to give His disciples a command to pray. And applying it to us also, it's the same thing. It's a shame that the Lord should ask us or have to command us to talk to Him throughout the day. When we find that person or know that person that we love to talk to and whose company we love, when we're not writing to them or talking to them, we're thinking about them. And the Lord says, well, that's the way our relationship would be between us and Him. We ought to be talking to Him. We ought to be communicating with Him. He shouldn't have to command us to do the things that we ought to do anyways. Going to church, reading our Bible, living a Christian life, praying to God in heaven. Those are things that the Lord shouldn't have to command us to do. And yet in the Bible, we get the commands for all those things because, you know, look down where he says in verse number 11. So we can get offended by this. If ye then being evil. All right. If a son asked for bread, are you going to give him a stone? No. If a son asked for a fish, are you going to give him a serpent? No. He says, if ye then being evil, and we might take offense to this. Well, what do you mean being evil? I'm not evil. Well, our nature is not to be pure. Our nature is not to be holy. Our nature is not to be good. We have to work on that to get it to be the right way. And too many times, those that claim the name of Christ are not in church, they're not in their Bible, they're not praying, and so that evil never gets subjected to good. You wonder sometimes why people that claim the name of Christ can talk the way they talk and be as nasty as they are sometimes. Well, it's no miracle that we are evil. The heart is deceitful above all things. And when we're not in fellowship with God, that part of us doesn't get suppressed. And so that's what the Lord's talking about. If ye then being evil, our nature is that way. But God's nature is to be good. His nature is to give. And so he says to us, he commands us to ask of him, to seek from him, to knock on his door. It's a command to pray. Notice small letter A under the command. It is a privilege. We're commanded to pray because it is a privilege. I know this is common knowledge, and so saying it is just saying something out loud we all know. We are not worthy that God in heaven should listen to us. There's nothing in and of ourselves that the God of all creation should stop His ear when we cry out or call out to Him. It is a privilege. Think if you would, in you particular, who is that? That one person, if you could meet anybody in the world, if you could meet anybody, pop, I don't know where, if it's sports, music, I don't know, whatever your desire, politics, whatever, if you could meet that one person that you would love to sit down and talk to, and you got an invitation from that person to come and meet them and to sit down and talk with them, man, you'd be excited. Whether it's a president or a sports star, whatever it is, you'd say, man, I get the opportunity to talk to them. And it would be a privilege to do so. And you would take that opportunity and you'd be looking forward to it and thinking about what you're going to say and recording it, everything. It is a privilege to be able to talk to God. But sometimes we don't put Him on that pedestal. We don't think of Him as being as high up sometimes as some other things. We might get excited at a box seat or sitting in the VIP section somewhere. Dr. Hamlin was just with us Wednesday and he told me about this a year and a half ago, but it's still his one of his greatest experiences. He got to sit in the VIP section at the inauguration of President Trump a year and a half ago. And here it is a year and a half later, and when we went out to eat dinner after church Wednesday night, it's one of the first things he talked. Did I tell you? That's what he told me. Did I tell you? And I said, yes, you did. Yes, you did. But he wanted to talk about it all over again. And that's understandable. That's a special occasion and something that doesn't happen very often to be that close to a president of the United States. But we have even a greater privilege than meeting someone like that, and that is talking to God. Every day. And yet we don't take advantage of it like we could or like we should. So it is a privilege. It is a privilege that's above all the other things that we could. It's a great privilege because our greatest privileges are spiritual privileges. Our greatest privileges are spiritual privileges. To talk to God, to go to church, to read the Word of God, to fellowship with other Bible-believing Christians. All right? These things are our greatest possessions. Not the things that are going to disappear when we die or when the rapture comes. And one of our greatest privileges is going to be the privilege of prayer. Small letter B, not only is it a privilege, it is a priority. It is a priority. It is a priority. Prayer should be a priority. It should be something that's done at the start of our day. I remember some preachers talking about the late Dr. John R. Rice. And somebody roomed with him when they were at a special meeting in a hotel somewhere and said that the minute he sat up in bed in the morning, the first words out of his mouth were, "Good morning, Lord." That was a man of prayer. And when he went to bed at night and set his head in the pillow, his last words were, "Good night, Lord." And between those two times, he spent his time in communion with God. Obviously, we're going through the responsibilities of life. We're performing the responsibilities that we have. And yet we can do that and still be in communion with God all throughout the day. It is a priority of our life that we pray. The Lord, Jesus, thought it was a priority. You know, in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there are 15 recorded prayers of the Lord Jesus Christ. 15 recorded prayers. Now, that's the recorded words. That's not, and he went into a mountain to pray. But these are the times where it was recorded what he said when he prayed 15 times. Another 15 times matching that was instruction he gave to his disciples to pray, like this in Matthew chapter 7. So that 30 times in the Gospels, 30 times in the 3 years of the Lord's earthly ministry, just the times we read about, he either prayed or instructed on prayer. There's a priority to prayer. A.W. Pink was a great commentator, and he said this concerning prayer. He said, "Prayerlessness," all right, not praying. "Prayerlessness is not to be looked upon as an innocent infirmity, but as a sin of the deepest dye. When we confess our sins before the Lord, 'Lord, forgive me for those thoughts that I had. Forgive me for that half-truth that I told. Forgive me for saying something to someone I didn't need to say, they didn't need to know.' All these different things, when we pray and confess our sins, we should also say, 'Lord, forgive me for not talking to you enough. Forgive me for not praying like I should.' Prayerlessness, as Pink said, is not just an innocent infirmity, but a sin of the deepest dye. So number one is the command to pray. Ask, seek, and knock. Number two is the character of prayer. The character of prayer. There are characteristics of right praying. In everything we do, there are right ways and wrong ways to do things. The Lord talked about the wrong ways back in Matthew chapter 6. He said in verse 7, "When you pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do." He said in verse 8, "Be not therefore like unto them." So he gave us some instruction on how not to pray, but here in these verses he tells us some things about how we should pray. Small letter A, we must pray humbly. We must pray humbly. He said, "Ask, and it shall be given unto you." The word "ask" indicates humility. We're not demanding. We're asking. You know, when you ask someone for something, you are putting yourself below them. Because you're asking, you're requesting them to do something. That is an act of humility. When the Bible says, "Ask, it shall be given to you," look at two words. The word "ask" indicates that we are the asker. And it shall be given. God is the giver. We are the asker. God is the giver. And so in this command that we ask and it shall be given unto you, we understand that the Lord is telling us if you humble yourself and pray, then you'll get your requests that are made known to God. But we have to humble ourselves and ask. It can be humiliating to ask. It can be humbling to ask in the natural life, asking for help from someone else. But when we come before God, it should not be difficult to ask humbly. And really, isn't that the problem that the religious leaders of Jesus' day had? When they prayed, there was no humbleness to it. Lord, I thank thee, the Pharisee said, that I'm not as other men are. Extortioners or unjust, or even as this publican. I give, I fast, I tithe, I do all these things. The problem with their prayers is they were self-righteous. They weren't asking in a spirit of humility. In fact, that man didn't really ask anything. But the publican that would not so much as lift up his eyes toward heaven smote upon his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. While the right self-righteous man was boasting and bragging, the publican, the sinner, was pleading out to God for mercy. And the Bible said, Jesus said, this man went home justified rather than the other. When we ask, we need to ask humbly. We need to be submitting to the hand of God and to the will of God. Secondly, small letter B, we must ask earnestly. Earnestly. He said, not only ask and it shall be given you, but seek and ye shall find. Ask and it shall be given. That's the supplicator coming before the sovereign. When we ask, we're the supplicator. He is the sovereign. When we seek and we shall find, we're praying earnestly because it is an activity. Prayer is an activity. Prayer is something that we do that makes it an activity. And the Bible says, seek and ye shall find. You know, you don't seek for a brief period of time. Seeking is something that requires some effort. We experience seeking at our house pretty regularly. Where's my glasses? Where's my keys? Where's this? Where's that? You know what? It requires getting up off the chair, spending some time searching and looking. And that's what asking is all about. We're to do it earnestly. We're to do it with some effort. You know, James chapter 5, verse 16, the Bible says, an effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effectual, fervent prayer. You ask not because you have not because you ask not. The effectual, fervent prayer. God says, you really want it? Are you going to ask? Are you really going to seek? Are you going to knock? These three stages of our quest: ask, seek, knock. Sometimes we quit too early. Sometimes we ask one time, it's not given. Sometimes it's given. We ask and God gives it, that's fine. Sometimes it's not given. We don't take the next step. We don't seek. There has to be some effort put into requesting the things from God. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. The story in Luke chapter 11, verse 8. About the man, the neighbor going to the man's house and wanting something from him. And the man says, well, I'm in bed with my family. I'm not going to get up. I'm not going to come to the door. I'm not going to open up to you. But the man persists in knocking on the door. And the Bible says that because of his importunity, he doesn't want to get up and answer the door, but because the guy won't go away. Because of his importunity, he arises and giveth to him as he needeth. All right, the man would not stop. He continued knocking on the door. That word importunity, I looked it up. It means a pressing solicitation. An urgent request. He wasn't going to stop knocking on the door until he got what he wanted. And that's what we're talking about when the Bible says, seek and ye shall find. There needs to be some earnestness, some effort in our prayer. Then small letter C. Not only must we pray humbly and earnestly, but we must pray expectantly. Expectantly. The Bible says, knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Again, these different levels. Ask. If you get what you wanted, praise the Lord. If you didn't get it, seek. Pray earnestly. If it comes, then praise the Lord. If it doesn't come, then knock. Be expectant. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Notice the promise in all three of these. Ask, and it shall. Seek, and ye shall. Knock, and it shall. That word shall in all three of these different commands, all three of these different characteristics of prayer. Expect an answer. Now, we don't always expect the answer that we want, but we expect an answer. Sometimes the Lord's answer is going to be no, because He knows what's best for us. Sometimes, as James says, we ask amiss, that we may consume it on our lust. And it's not that we come asking for something that's bad or evil, but it's something that the Lord knows isn't going to be good for us. Somebody prays and says, Lord, give me a job. And they get that job and it requires them to work on Sunday and they're not in church anymore. Somebody says, Lord, give me a boyfriend or a girlfriend, and they get one and that boyfriend or girlfriend gets them out of church. Not all the things we pray for. There's nothing wrong with asking for a job. Nothing wrong for asking for a friend, something like that. But sometimes the Lord knows, no, that's not what you need right now, because that's not what's best for you spiritually. And again, we put the physical above the spiritual. Lord, I need that job. Lord, I need that car. Lord, I need that friend. I need whatever it is. And the Lord doesn't always, but we're to knock. And the Bible says in Revelation 3:20, we'll get to this on Sunday evenings when we get to the church of Laodicea, that Jesus is standing on the outside of the church knocking on the door, asking for someone to open the door and let Him in. And the Lord uses that same illustration to tell us that we need to knock, and He's always going to open the door. In the book of Revelation, He's knocking on the door, not knowing whether that church will open it and invite Him in. But when we knock on heaven's door, it's always going to be opened. It's just not always going to be the answer that we want. But we should pray expectantly. Letter D. We've kind of covered this already under B, earnestly. But we must pray persistently. Persistently. Again, the three words: ask, seek, knock. Don't make it a frivolous request. We need to ask persistently. That means to be continuous in our prayer. On your prayer list, there should be names of people. And when you're praying for them, sometimes you're praying for the same thing. Maybe it's a wayward child, and you're saying, Lord, bring them back to the fold. Bring them back close to You. Well, you don't quit that prayer after a week. You don't quit that prayer after a year. You don't quit praying that prayer until the Lord answers that request. Whatever our needs are, now there are some that are temporary. Maybe there's something going on next week and you're praying for that. Obviously, that's something short term. But many of our prayers are long term, to give us what we need. So the Bible says we must pray persistently. Ask, seek, and knock. Then letter E. We must pray rightly. We must pray rightly. There are right and wrong things to pray for. What is the example the Lord gave? If a son asks for a fish, what is the son asking for? His needs, his necessary things. The Lord is not giving an open blank checkbook and saying, ask for anything and I'll give you whatever you want. Again, that's the problem with our modern prosperity preachers that live in the $1 million homes and fly the jets, then because they have that, They think that's the blessing of God on them, and everybody that's being blessed of God should have the same thing. We are to pray for our needs, not our wants. He said, if your son asked for bread, would you give him a stone? If he asked for fish, would you give him a serpent? It's not an open checkbook for anything that we want. It's our necessities, not our luxuries. Our necessities, not our luxuries. The Lord said, my God shall supply all your need, all your need, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. All your needs. James chapter 4, verse 3, we've said already, the Lord said, you have not because you ask not, and you have not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. Asking for those luxuries, those things above and beyond. Now, God does give us things above our needs. And I would say it's not necessarily wrong to ask for something above the need, but make sure you recognize, Lord, you have no obligation to meet this, to answer this, because this is something I don't need, but something I'd like, something I want. Do we not do that as children, or did we not do that as children with our parents? Ask for things sometimes that we didn't really need, but we wanted. Sometimes we got it. Many times we did not. And the Lord says, pray rightly. Pray for bread. Pray for fish. Pray for the things that are necessary. And then lastly, number three, are the consequences of prayer. The consequences of prayer. Number one was the command to pray. Number two, the character of prayer. Number three, the consequences of prayer. Right praying produces right results. All right, right praying produces right results. When we're praying wrong, we're asking amiss. When we're praying wrong, we're not getting the character of God right. And so the Lord's instruction on prayer gives us also the consequences of prayer. Notice he said, if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then being evil know how to give, notice this word, if you know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that are asked? Small letter A is the goodness of God. When we pray right, we experience the goodness of God. God is good all the time. And when he sees that we have a need, he gives us according to our need. Again, it's a need. It's a need. God does not enable us by giving us things we don't need. He does not give to us things that we can acquire on our own. But he goes above and beyond when we ask to give us those good, and again, the good needs. Like the good things. Some things we pray for are not always good for us. And the Lord knows what those things are. And in his goodness, he withholds them. When we're in a right relationship with God, we understand that when our prayers are not answered, that's the goodness of God too. We praise him and thank him when we pray for something and he gives it to us. He opens up the windows of heaven, pours us out a blessing, and we say, God, thank you for that. We need to learn to say thank you when God doesn't answer. Because one of these days we'll look back and see why he didn't give us what we thought we needed. Or when we get to heaven, he'll rewind the tape and show us what would have happened if we would have got what we thought we should have gotten. God is good when he gives, and God is good when he withholds. Because he knows what's good for us better than we do. If a son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? You know, from a distance, a stone and bread can look the same. Remember that temptation of the devil to Jesus? Turn these breads into stone? If he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you're up in the creek running down from the mountain and something's swimming in the water, you grab it before you look, and a serpent can look like a fish. But the Lord knows which one's good for you and which one's... We look by the human eye and say, Lord, that's what I need. That's what you need to give me. And the Lord says, no, that's not what it looks like. And so the Lord gives us good things because there's the goodness of God. Small letter B. He gives us good gifts. Good things. There are the gifts of God. Small letter B, the gifts of God. If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father in heaven give good things to them that ask him? When we ask things of God, we're asking him to give. You can preface every request, God, I don't deserve this, but would you please do this, do that, meet this need, answer this prayer, do this for this one that I'm beseeching you on behalf of. We don't deserve it. We haven't earned it. We don't have points earned up in heaven for God to answer our prayers. We haven't chalked one up with God that he owes us one. So anything he does for us, he does because it's a gift of God. And when we learn how to pray right, we learn how to experience the gifts of God. I'm turning to James chapter 1 and verse 17. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. You and I give gifts, we receive gifts, and sometimes they're wonderful, they're precious, they're valuable. But nothing like the gifts that come down from the Father in heaven. So when we pray right, we experience the goodness of God, we see the gifts of God, letter C, we understand the graciousness of God. The graciousness of God. It shall be given you. It shall be given you. That emphasizes his grace. It's given to you. It's not earned. It's not merited. It's the graciousness of God. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 that we're to come boldly before the throne of grace. Come boldly before the throne of grace. We don't need to hesitate. Coming boldly doesn't mean cocky. Doesn't mean arrogant. But it means that we don't have to hesitate bowing our head and coming before God with our needs. But when we do, we need to understand it's the throne of grace. Lord, I'm asking for something I don't deserve. I'll tell you this, praying this morning before I came up, I was telling the Lord, I don't deserve to stand behind a pulpit and preach to these folks. I know that 6 months after I got saved, I got called to preach. This is my calling. I love doing it, but how do you ever feel worthy of being one to stand before the pulpit and open the Bible and give it to other folks? So we come before the throne of grace, say, God, I don't deserve that, but please, this morning, would you bless your word? We've got folks that are hungry and coming and needy. Sometimes we don't even know that we're hungry and needy. And bless the preaching of your word so it might meet the needs of the people that hear it. Why do you do that? Because we come before the throne of grace boldly, but it's the throne of grace. We're not worthy of anything God does. And lastly, letter D, the generosity of God. How much more? If a son asks for a piece of bread, will he give him a stone? If he asks for a serpent, will the Father give him, or a fish, will the Father give him a serpent? How much more shall your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? No one is as generous as God. If a father knows how to give good gifts, how much more the Father which is in heaven? His storehouse is never empty. His storehouse is never empty. He can open the window. The Bible says he can open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Ephesians says he gives exceeding abundantly above, I like those words, exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. The Lord is giving us counsel concerning prayer. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you this morning for your word, for the instruction we get. Lord, help us not just to know it in our head, but Father, practice it. Be people of prayer. Bless our morning service and those that come to join us in Jesus' name. Amen. Take a short break and we'll begin our morning service.